Hello, welcome to Flat Creek Baptist Church. I'm Josh Sefko, the senior pastor, and we're so excited that you've chosen to worship with us this morning online. We hope you have your Bibles ready to hear from God's Word. Let's turn there now and experience God together.
Absolutely. I invite you to the book of Luke, chapter 22, beginning in verse 13. We'll read through the 20th verse and spend a little bit of time together this morning. This is not a long message, but this is a very important message as we come to the Lord's table. There was a Presbyterian preacher visiting a Methodist church in the Poconos Mountains. It's where my wife and I had our honeymoon. We love the Poconos Mountain. We resonate with this preacher and their time in the Poconos. This Presbyterian preacher sat down to listen to this Methodist preacher, and it was a July day, a lot like what we're experiencing today. Beautiful day. Didn't have to get through Peachtree City to get here, but it was a beautiful day nonetheless. Weather perfect, but see, the thing with this auditorium, there was no air conditioning, and the preacher got to preaching. He was really getting into it. But he noticed something that I've never noticed here. Heads started to nod. They started to get a little sleepy. Boredom began to set in. But the preacher baked into his message a little phrase to jolt everybody's attention. The phrase was, "The best years of my life have been spent in the arms of another man's wife." Congregation shot up. Eyes got real big. Deacons stopped moving around in the back. Ushers peeked through the door. He said, "It was my mother. But I got your attention. It was my mother." Well, that Presbyterian preacher who was sitting there that morning thought, you know, that'd be a good one for my church. If I ever catch them dozing off, I got something to use. A year goes by. It's a beautiful July day, and here it comes, the first nod. This one's my favorite. I have seen this one. I know. Somebody said, "Why does he yell so much?" I'm trying to keep y'all awake. He noticed those few nods, no air conditioning, just that beautiful day, the wind's just right, people are starting to doze. That preacher thinks, "I'm going to pull that out of the file. I'm going to use it this morning. I remember that Methodist preacher. I'm going to pull that out." "The best years of my life," he said, "have been spent in the arms of another man's wife." Heads shot up. People shot up straight. I mean, Miss Shirley, it was so fast. Miss Janet, it was so fast. Their head hit the back of the wall back there. They could not believe what they just heard. And this poor preacher sat there. Here's the problem. He forgot what came next. And he said, "And for the life of me, I can't remember her name." Oh, man. Memory lapses can be funny, can't they? Oh, my. But they can also be devastating. Memory lapses can be devastating. Which one of us hasn't walked through one of the most severe illnesses of our day with our loved ones with Alzheimer's? And seeing the devastating effect of memory loss. You know, Jesus didn't want us to forget Him. That's why He said, "This do in remembrance of Me." And that's why we gather around the Lord's table this morning, to remember Him. I want to say this out of the gate, though, and we're going to have time to deal with this. There's no room at this table for callousness of heart or carelessness of mind. There's no room at this table for a callousness of heart or a carelessness of mind. So we approach the Lord's table deliberately, soberly, intentionally, to find out what it is we're supposed to remember. You have your copy of God's Word in Luke chapter 22. Beginning in verse 13, the Word of God says this: "So they went and found it just They found the house that he had told them to go to, and just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover, Luke 22, beginning verse 14 now. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Verse 19, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup, is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Let's bow together. Father, in the name of Jesus, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable unto you. O Lord, our God, our Redeemer's name, we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Lord Jesus gives us a specific command here. There are only two ordinances in the New Testament that we acknowledge this morning. One is believer's baptism. That's your, once you follow Christ, you identify with him in believer's baptism. Now, baptism doesn't save you. It's a symbol of what Christ has done in your heart and in your life. And then he also gives us the Lord's Supper. You see the command that he tells us in verse 19. Do this in remembrance of me. Only two ordinances he commands us to do, but what is it that we're supposed to remember? And that's what I want us to just take a few notes, to spend a little time meditating on before we actually partake of the Lord's table this morning. One of the first things that we ought to remember is remember the preparation that went into this. Remember the preparation of the Lord's table. You see it in verse 13. They prepared the Passover. Now think about the Passover there in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. If you want to read that, I encourage you to do that in preparation. But the Passover, there was a lamb that reminded them of the blood over the doorposts, that the death angel would pass by as he would see that blood smeared on top of those doorposts. There's the unleavened bread that reminded them of the swiftness of redemption. There's the bowl of salt water that reminded them of the tears they shed in captivity. There's the bitter herbs that you see in Exodus 12 that reminds us of the bitterness of the slavery the Israelites walked through. But then there was the paste that reminded them of the clay they used to make bricks in their bondage. But now Jesus comes along and he baptizes these things with eternal significance. And it's no longer remembering just about the bondage they were into. Now it's about eternal bondage being set free by what Christ was going to do as he suffered on the cross. What did he do? How did Christ prepare himself at this hour as he marches to the cross? Let's remind ourselves what Jesus went through this morning, shall we? As Jesus prepared, remind us this morning that he was beaten. Jesus was beaten. You see it in Luke chapter 22, verses 63 through 64. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him. And they kept asking, prophesy. Who is it that struck you? Be reminded, as he prepared, he was scourged. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 26, then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. He was spit upon in Matthew chapter 27, verse 30, and they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. They mocked him in Matthew 27, verse 29, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They plucked his beard in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. "I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." He was stripped over there in Matthew chapter 27, verse 35. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them. Jesus was being prepared and preparing for you and I as he was nailed to an old rugged cross. As so eloquently said and sung this morning, our heart was stolen away, and so grateful for that by the Lord Jesus Christ. There in the center of those three crosses, when two robbers were crucified, one on the right and one on the left, there was one nailed to the cross in the middle, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As John chapter 19 tells us, he was pierced, as one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once came out blood and water. Why did Jesus prepare in such a way? Why did Jesus do these things? Because God demonstrated his love for us. Yet while we're sinners, Christ died for us. When I survey, oh, the wonderful cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, see from his hands, see from his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Oh, the wonderful cross Jesus prepared. His preparation leads us to the fact that we have eternal redemption in Christ, bondage set free, with fervent desire, the text says. It says he came with fervent desire. Hebrews chapter 12 says that it was joy that he endured the cross for you and for me. With fervent desire. I love how one of the versions reads, "Eagerly I anticipate going to the cross. With fervent desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer." We remember the preparation, but also this morning we remember with expectation. Not only did Christ die on the cross for our sins, not only was he buried, but he came out of the grave 3 days later. And friends, he's coming back for his own. The Bible tells us he's going to harpazo, he's going to snatch us up one of these days, and it could happen at any moment. We remember with expectation. Do you see what the text says here in verse 16? "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Look at verse 18. "For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come." We have an eager expectation that our King is going to return at any moment, at any time. And so we come to this table anticipating and with expectation of the great reunion in the sky. I am so excited for the day of the end of sin, aren't you? I look forward to the day of the end of suffering. I look forward to the day of the end of sting of death, when we all gather around in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, and there's the marriage supper of the Lamb, and they serve us some Waffle House smothered and covered. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. It's not going to be Waffle House. You know it's going to be Broadway Diner. What a day that's going to be, when all of Christ's children, when all the saints of God gather together for a meal. No longer huddled in our churches, but one big collective body, those who have went before us, gathering together and sitting with the Old Testament saints, with the church age of grace. I love how Luke says it. "And Jesus is going to get up and serve us." Who are we worthy of such honor? Oh, what a day that's going to be. I think about Luke chapter 14, verse 15. Now when one of those sat at the table with him and heard these things, he said to them, "Happy, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." It points us to that great reunion that we're going to experience in Revelation chapter 9, the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a great expectation here for us, but dear friends, there's also a call to remember our proclamation. This table represents as well a call to remember our proclamation. And he took bread and gave thanks, verse 19, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." This is our proclamation, that Christ's blood was shed for us. Think about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, when the Apostle Paul writes these words, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We are to remember it is our responsibility as a follower of Christ to proclaim his death until he comes. We are to proclaim Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, where the Word of God tells us, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin," dear friends. This is what we're to proclaim. We are to proclaim the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, and his soon coming again. Amen? We gather around this table being reminded of our proclamation, not only to proclaim his death, burial, and resurrection, but church family, we're also to proclaim John chapter 14, verse 6, that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and no one will come to the Father except through him. There's no other way to be saved outside of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. He alone is the access to the Father, the creator of the universe, the creator of every single one of us. He is the access. He is the redeemer for our sins. So I ask you this morning, as we prepare for the Lord's table, have you given your life to Jesus Christ? And if you have, is there anything hindering your walk with Christ? As I remind you that there's no room at this table for callousness of heart or carelessness of mind. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 warns us to come to this table if we've never trusted in Christ, if we haven't followed him in baptism. He warns us, if we're not right with the Father, don't drink damnation on yourself, is what 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us. So I urge you in this very moment, before you partake of the bread, which is a symbol of his body, and the juice, which is a symbol of his blood, please take the time, as Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, to examine yourself, not your neighbor, not your husband, not your spouse, not your children, not your grandparents, but examine yourself. And this is the time we set aside to do that, where you examine your relationship with God. Let's look vertically first. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith and trust that Jesus went to a cross for you, died for you, was buried for you, came out of the grave for you? Have you professed that Jesus Christ is your Lord? Have you been baptized by immersion? Have you followed the Lord's commandment in believer's baptism? Are you right vertically, but how about horizontally now? Are you good with brothers and sisters in the room? This morning, let us take a few moments to pause and examine ourselves. Would you bow with me? If you've never placed your faith and trust in Christ, in these still moments, would you lean in and say, I trust you now. I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus, God our Father. From your heart to God this morning, would you express, I'm placing my faith and trust in you, that you died for me, that you were buried for me, that you came out of the grave victoriously for me. I believe what we read today, that you shed your blood for me. And I'm asking that that blood would cleanse me and wash me as white as snow. Today I'm trusting you. I'm asking you to come and live in my heart.
We hope you are encouraged and inspired by today's message of God's love for you, that he sent Christ to die for our sins, to be buried, and he came back to life because he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. If you desire to learn more about Flat Creek Baptist Church and God's great love for you, we hope that you would join us on our website at flatcreekbaptist.org. You can call the church office. You can email us here at the church. We look forward to seeing you again at Flat Creek Baptist Church.